The morning, today's daf in Shabbos. This is daf Gimel. We are on the very bottom of, very middle of Yud Beis Amud Beis. And we're continuing from yesterday. If you take a look back at the Mishnah talked about precautions that the Chachamim made. So one of them, which we already discussed at length, is lo yasa hachayit b'machto samach chashecha shem yishkach v'yetzei. Lo lavlar b'komoso. So don't go out with holding your pen on Friday afternoon, because you may end up continuing to hold it even on Shabbos, and the same thing is true with a tailor and his needle. And lo yaflas kelav alikra lo aner. And then we went on the Mishnah to describe that you can't read by the candlelight on Friday night. And the reason why is because reading requires a significant amount of illumination. So you're going to take your sefer, you're going to put it right in front of the light, and you're going to see it's not enough light, and you're going to want to turn the light even higher. So we're obviously talking about candlelight. So what are you going to do? So you're going to take the oil, and you're going to take the whole lantern, and you're going to tilt the lantern in order to get more oil into the wick. And that is a malacha on Shabbos, that's havara. So the Mishnah says it's a rabbinic precaution, so you're not allowed to read by the light of the candle. And then the Mishnah went on and talked about the chazan. I'm going to come back to the chazan in just a moment, but in the meantime, however, we're going to start in the Gemara and Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. So lo yikar lo aner amar rava afilo gavur shtei kamos. Look, let's say the candle's not within reach. Let's say it's two heights above you. So in other words, let's say you're 6 feet tall, so the candle's 12 feet above your head. You can't reach it. Or, for example, afilo shtei mardos. Or let's say it's two mardos above you. Okay, I don't know how long a marda is, but the same basic point. In other words, it's too high for you to reach. And even if there are 10 houses, one above the other, the we're just simply making a point. It's out of reach. You cannot reach it. Period. Okay? So in other words, though, the basic idea that we have in response to Gzeras the Rabbanu, which is low plug. The idea of low plug is once the Chachamim make a Gzera, that's it. It's a Gzera. And what we cannot do is we cannot start making distinctions. Well, here in this case, I can't reach the fire, so it must be okay. No, low plug Rabbanu means that under any circumstance, even though the Gzera the Rabbanu doesn't apply, but we're still going to have to abide by the Gzera the Rabbanu. Gemara continues. Now, in the Mishnah, it sounds like one person can read, but two people can read together. And why would it make a difference whether it's one person or two people? So it's very simple, because two people now reading out of the same sefer by the light of the fire on Friday night. So they're going to remind each other, Shabbos, don't touch that light. Now the Gemara here quotes a brisa, and the brisa says not even two, and that's obviously difficult. So Amar Abulaz, the lokashikam in Yanecha, kam shnei yanim. Well, it depends. Meaning, if two people are chavrusas, learning from the same sefer, that's okay, because they're going to remind each other. If, however, they're both engrossed in their own particular limud, and each one of them has their own sefer, that's it's no different than one person reading.
Maybe they have their own lamp.
Huh?
Maybe they have a lamp.
Yeah, or maybe they have their own lamp. Amar Avuna uvim medura filosar b'nei da'adam asr. Now, how about by a bonfire? Reading by a bonfire on Friday night. So the Gemara says that's Aser. Even if there are 10 people, it's going to be Aser. Now, why should that be? So Rashi explains like this. Because by a bonfire is very large. And if you sit around a bonfire, you know, so that, you know, everyone's toasting their marshmallows. Well, it's Friday night, so no one's toasting their marshmallows. But everyone's reading by the bonfire. And you don't have real camaraderie between the participants of the bonfire. And as Rashi explains, you could take a little stick right from the bonfire, and no one else is going to notice, no one's going to warn you. So basically, you don't have the I'll watch your back and you'll watch my back approach. Now, what if the person's not Adam Chashav? Meaning, it's the kind of person where he's a leader of the community.
He wouldn't
touch the lamp, meaning it's beneath him to touch the lamp. Somebody else would do it for him. So interestingly enough, For an adam chashuv, it's okay. Now, I know that kind of belies what I just said, because what I just said is that when the rachachamim make a gzera, lo plug, that we don't make distinctions, and now we're making distinctions based on the kind of person he is. That is a little bit difficult, and the idea of adam chashuv comes up very frequently in the Gemara. I don't know how to resolve really the issue. Meaning, on one hand, we have the concept of lo plug, on the other hand, adam chashuv is different. Okay. Right.
Because he has some that he just wouldn't touch the line.
Right. Correct. Good. It's a very good distinction. In fact, the Gemara is going to really speak to that right now. So the Gemara quotes the following Braisa. The Braisa says, "Don't read by the light of a candle on Friday night." I'm sorry. Maybe you're going to tilt the lamp. Now I'm Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha. So the Gemara tells the story with Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha. So he said, not a problem. I'll read by the light of the lamp on Friday night. In other words, I know better. I'm not going to tilt the lamp. I'll be fine. And so now he's reading and he's having difficulty reading. And he's reaching for the lamp on Friday night. And then he remembers, oh, it's Shabbos. But even the idea that he's reaching for the lamp, then he realized maybe the Chachamim knew what they were talking about. Just perhaps. Rabbi Nassan Omer, so now Rabbi Nassan has a different version of the story. And he said, Kara Vihita. Now, his version of the story is, he didn't reach for the lamp, he did tilt the lamp, and he did violate Shabbos. Now, albeit he did it b'shogeg, meaning certainly he didn't do it b'mezid, meaning for a moment it escaped him that it was Shabbos, and so he did it. And because of Al-Pinkaso. Now, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha lived after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, presumably. And he wrote the following on his little notebook, his ledger. Ani Yishmael ben Elisha karisa v'hitisa ner b'Shabbos. So, and he writes down, I'm Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, and heighten the fire on Shabbos, and when the base of Mikdash will be built, avichata shmeina, I'm owing the base of Mikdash one carbon chatas. Okay, so in other words, it was bishogeg, so he feels like it was chayav carbon chatas, and he actually wrote it down on his ledger. I'm Rabbi Abba. Now
that doesn't contradict the Rova, because again, it's a difference between somebody who.
Okay, good. So the Gemara is going to basically say this. Okay, good. So now the Gemara is, in other words, the story in of itself is fantastic, and it really speaks to the idea that when the Chachamim make a gzera, they know what they're doing, and don't try to outthink the Chachamim on their gzeras. But the Gemara then says, but the Gemara brings the story in the context of, I don't understand. You told me that an Adam Chashev is different, and meanwhile, we have a story over here with Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, and he's an Adam Chashuv, and for him, obviously, we're still Aser. So I'm Rabbi Abish, I'm Rabbi Shmuel, but at least Shohol, Umesim Atzmol, Adivri Torah, Kehejot. The Gemara says, yeah, he's an Adam Chashuv, but when it comes to learning Torah, he acts like the regular guy. Meaning, when it comes to Divrei Torah, he's like Kehejot. He's like a simple person. Meaning that he doesn't treat himself with any type of special dignitary privileges. And so, therefore, I guess the Gemara is saying he doesn't really qualify as an Adam Chashuv because he doesn't behave like an Adam Chashuv. Okay. Now it gets interesting because basically what we're saying is like this. Look, you know why we light candles on Friday night? I mean, aside from all the, you know, mystical reasons. Because we want to be able to see. Right? In other words, yeah, Onik Shabbos, Kavod Shabbos, you want to see what's going on. So, on the other hand, the Chachamim were goes there. There are certain nuanced activities that you can't do by this light because you may come to touch light, which is obviously a malach on Shabbos. You can't do that. So, basically, now what we're going to try to find is this line where I want to be able to see. In other words, I want to see where I'm going. I want to see what I'm eating. On the other hand, I can't read. Where do we draw the line? Meaning, what kind of activities is it too detailed? And I may come and tilt the lamp. So, what else is included besides reading from a sefer? So we have one braisa that says that the shamsh bodei kosas akaris, that the shamish, the servant, the attendant at the meal, he's Jewish, so he can examine cups and glasses to make sure that what before he puts them out at the table, they are clean. And he's going to examine them by the light. Now, obviously, he wants a lot of light, obviously. So, Laura, Nevertan Yidach Lo Yivdok. And another bright that says, no, you can't be Bodek. Thank you. You can't be Bodek. So, how do we resolve this? Now, the Gemara makes the first distinction, which is, well, it depends. Is he a temp or is he a steady shamish? Now, it's funny. Before Rashi, I would have said, yeah, right, correct. Before I read Rashi, I would have said that if you're a temp, you're like on eggshells. Meaning, oh, I don't know, I just got here. Right, if he finds a single spot on any one of the glasses, that's it, I'm done. As opposed to if he's kavua, okay, he's been here for a while. All right, in other words, he's got a little bit of wiggle room. He can make a mistake or two. And he won't be that particular about checking the glasses. And Rashi says just the opposite. Right, you saw the Rashi. And Rashi says just the opposite. And see, he says, Shamash kavua, lo yivdok mimnei she'emas rabo alav, we're worried by the. But in other words, when he's a steady worker and he's working at your house all the time, so for that person, we're really worried because he takes his job very seriously, and so therefore he's going to look very hard for any spot whatsoever, and he may come tilt the lamp. But if it's an eno kavua, I'll come in. Whatever, I'm not staying here long term anyway. I don't have to do the best job. And so for him, he could check by the light of the lamp. Okay. And I really, I if you want to tell me opposite, I could really hear that. Or the Gemara gives another distinction. Both Bryces are talking about where the attendant is a full time. He's been working with you for years. We're talking about what kind of fuel that's being used for the lamp. Meaning if it's oil, don't do it. Because he might come and tilt the lamp. But if it's nafta, if it's neft, it's got that really bad odor. So he's not going to tilt the lamp because as it is, it already has an unpleasant odor. And now what? And now you're going to bring about more unpleasant odor? Don't worry, he won't tilt the lamp. Now, I know this also belies what we just said, because what we also said in the beginning of the discussion is lo plug rabbanan, that when the rabbis make gzera, they don't make distinctions. And now, here we are again, making distinctions on, well, it depends on what kind of fuel it is. So, again, it's difficult. It's a little bit tricky. Ibai seima havaha bishamish kavua velokashia. I'm sorry, ibai lo. Shamish ain't a kavua, but damash kamahu. What if it's not a temp? Sorry. What if it is a temp? Okay, so in other words, he just got hired and whatever, he got him from an agency and he may not make it, but and he's using oil. So we kind of have like contradictory factors. Meaning on the fact that he's a temp, we said, don't worry, he won't tilt the lamp. On the idea that he's, that it's mashka, that it's oil, he may come and tilt the lamp. So where do we say over here? Amrav halacha vein morin kein. So Rav says, really, he could tilt the lamp, but don't tell people. Meaning halacha vein morin kein. Don't go public with that information. And Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba amar halacha u morin kein. No, he can actually tilt the lamp, but not only that, but you can go public with this halacha. Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba ikla be Rav Asi. Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba visits the house of Rav Asi. Kam shamei. And up comes the attendant of Rabbi Yirmiyah, and meaning Rabbi Yirmiyah when he comes, so obviously he brings his attendant with him, right? In other words, you're not going to right, right? Correct. The Rabbi doesn't walk alone; he has an attendant with him. So Rabbi Yirmiyah's attendant comes with him, and the attendant kabadak lenura. And while the attendant now is presenting the food to the Rebbe, so he's checking the glasses, he's checking the dishes, and he's checking it to the light of the lamp. Lenur Deshaga. So Amalei Devasayu. So the wife of Rav Asi says, hold on one second. Rav Asi, you don't allow me to do that. So why are you allowing the attendant of Rav Yirmiyah to do that? What's going on over here? Umar lo avid achi, amala Shavkei Kerabei Svirlei. Leave the attendant alone. Don't say anything to the attendant. He's following his Rebbe. Meaning, his Rebbe is Rebbe Yirmiyah. And if you go back a line in the Gemara, Rebbe Yirmiyah says, Halacha Umarin Kain. Meaning that if you are a temp, if you just got here, and you really plan on leaving, so we're not worried about you tilting the lamp, and so therefore, for his attendant, it would be okay, but for my workers over here, for my attendants in my house, it would not be okay. Okay, and now we're up to the last part of the Mishnah. Not the last, but the second to last part of the Mishnah. Okay, in the Mishnah, you can't read by the light of the candle, but, and what's the but? The Emes Amru, in truth they said, HaChazan Roa Heichan Tinokos Karin. The Chazan can look, meaning he can look in a sefer on Friday night to see where the kids are reading from. Now, what exactly does that mean? So I wasn't clear about this when we did the Mishnah. Kind of waiting for our Gemara right now. But before we go do the Gemara, I want to go back to the Mishnah. I want to go back to Rashi on the Mishnah. There's an exception. Meaning, in general, you can't read by the light of your Shabbos licht, but there's an exception for the Chazan. Who is this Chazan and why does he get an exception? So Rashi in the Mishnah offers two explanations. Chazan HaKnesses HaMikra Shiva HaKorim B'Torah. Meaning, when we say the Chazan, you understand, by the way, we've said this many times. Chazan is not the cantor. The Chazan is the Gabbai. Okay? And he's getting ready for tomorrow. Meaning, tomorrow Shabbos morning, he's going to be running Minyan, and there's going to be Aliyahs. And you're going to get called up for an Aliyah. Now, Roni's excellent at this. Meaning, he somehow, in the morning, puts together the Aliyahs. Like, Hashkama morning. So he's really, I couldn't do that. But you have to understand, though, back in the good old days, there was more preparation necessary for the Gabbai. Why? Because everyone would get called up for an Aliyah. Not only did they get called up for an Aliyah, they lane from the Torah. Right? No, nobody would get excited to be called up for an Aliyah if you know that not only do you have to get up there, you got to read. Well, that's a different story. And so Rashi explains back on the Mishnah as follows. So, and what's going to happen is this guy's going to get called up tomorrow morning, and he's not even going to know where to read from. Meaning, where does the Aliyah begin? Where does the Aliyah end? So, what the Gabbai does on Friday night is he sits there with the Sefer Torah, and he actually preps. And he actually looks. Here's where one Aliyah begins. Here's where one Aliyah ends. And he's got the whole Parsha prepared. So he basically is preparing the Parsha the night before. V'roa heichan korin tinoko shal beis rabban b'shabes v'zu. V'hein korin b'seder l'or haner b'beis ha-knesses. V'yodeh shehi Parsha shel Shabbos zu. Okay? So that is shot number one in Rashi. This is the Gabbai preparing for tomorrow morning. Lishna achrina. And then Rashi in the Mishnah offers a second shot. Or he's a mechanech, he's a tutor, and he's teaching young students the parsha. So what he's going to do on Friday night is prepare what he's going to teach tomorrow to the young students. So one of two possibilities in terms of who this chazan is, but either way, what it comes out now is that for this reason he gets an exception. And he gets to read from a Sefer Torah on Friday night by the light of the lamp, even though everyone else is forbidden from doing so. Okay. Now, keep that mission in mind as we go through the Gemara. The Emes Amru HaChazan, we're on the bottom of Yud Beis Amud Beis, and the last two lines. The Hamad Reisha Roe. So, the Gemara is bothered, because if you take a look at the beginning of the Mishnah, the beginning of the Mishnah says Roeh, meaning meaning very simple. Look back at the Mishnah in Daf Yud Aleph. It says Be'emes Amru HaChazan Roeh Heichan Tinokos Karin Aval Hu Lo Yikra. He can see the Sefer, but he shouldn't. He could read, but he shouldn't read. Meaning, simply put, I'm confused. Is he allowed to read, or is he not allowed to read? So, my lovely, so the Gemara says, no. What the Mishnah means is that he's not reading from the Chumash, he's just looking to where it begins and where it ends. Kind of like what Rashi described back in the Mishnah. Good. He can basically look to where it begins and where it ends, but he's not actually reading the parsha itself. Meisve, the Gemara says, is that true? We're now in the top of Yigim Amad Aleph. Reb Shimon Gemil Amar Atinok Shabbos Rabban Hayu Mesajin Parsha Yosef VeKoren LaOr Haner. The children would read the entire parsha by the light of the lamp. The entire parsha, not just the beginning of the Aliyah. So one answer is, okay, what we're going to do with the Braisa is, we'll reinterpret the Braisa. The Braisa means that, no, they're not looking at the Parsha, they're looking at only where it's going to begin and where it's going to end. But they're not actually reading the Parsha, consistent with what Rashi said back in the Mishnah. Or maybe what you can suggest is as follows. Look, the Chazan can't read from the Sefer Torah. The only thing the Chazan can do is open up the Sefer Torah and see where the Aliyah begins and see where the Aliyah ends. And that's all the Chazan can do. As far as the kids on Friday night, no, that's different. Why is that different? Because basically, it's kind of like what we said a couple of minutes earlier. Because over here now you have a crowd. You have a crowd of people around a Sefer Torah. You have the Rebbe and the Talmidim. And the way the Gemara says it over here is that the Talmidim are scared of the Rebbe. Okay? That doesn't exist much more these days, but they, right? Okay. So the kid, the, all right. it's a bit of an issue, but it's not like the good old days. But the good old days weren't all that good, also. So gotta find a healthy balance. So but the kids are scared of the Rebbe. So in other words, no one's going to touch the lamp. Because it's really the kids who are reading. The Rebbe's overseeing. The kids are scared of the Rebbe, so the kids aren't going to touch the lamp. It's not really the Rebbe who's reading from the Sefer Torah. So this context is different. It's kind of similar to what we discussed earlier, where two people can read from a Sefer Torah by the light of the lamp. Okay, good. Kayotze bo lo yochel hazav. Okay, and now, what we'll be discussing for the rest of today's daf is that last line of the Mishnah. That last line of the Mishnah comes in from left field. Yes and no. Meaning, the last line of the Mishnah describes how, I'm going to give you another gzera derabanan. Meaning, the Mishnah gives us a list of gzeras derabanan. Right? Don't walk out holding things on Friday afternoon. Don't walk around with things in your pocket on Friday afternoon. Don't read by the light of a candle on Friday night. And a zav should not eat with a zava. It's not talking about Shabbos. It just simply means this is another gzera derabanan. The rabbis were worried about what this would lead to. So another classic gzera. A zav shouldn't eat with a zava. Now, the issue is very simple. Meaning that intimate behavior between a man and a woman would obviously lead to intimacy. It's very simple. It is interesting that when you look back at the Mishnah, it says a zav shouldn't eat with a zava. Meaning he's tamei and she's tamei. Let's be honest. The issue is not whether he's tamei or not. He could be. He doesn't have to be a zav. Meaning, if she's a zava, so a man is not allowed to be intimate with a zava. A zava nida, for this purpose of this discussion, are the same. They're not the same. I mean, we spent the mesechta talking about the differences, but for this discussion, they're the same. A man cannot be intimate with a nida. A man cannot be intimate with a zava, even if it is his own wife. Obviously. I mean, that's what we're talking about.
Not with somebody else.
Yeah, not with somebody else's wife. Although, we're going to discuss more of that actually later in this daf. But it is interesting that the Mishnah over here describes he's a zav and she's a zava. Okay, and the Gemara is going to pick up on that. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Borei Ad Heichan Pirtza Tahara BiYisrael Ad Heichan Pirtza Tahara BiYisrael. Jewish people are very careful about being tahor. Shalosh aninu, because look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah does not say lo yachol atahor ima tameya. Our Mishnah doesn't even entertain the possibility that a man who's tahor is going to be eating with a woman who's tameya. to put it in the best terms possible, pasnished. Meaning it should, we wouldn't do that. Jewish people wouldn't do that. Because, in other words, every food that she comes into contact with is going to be tamea. And so in other words, we wouldn't even describe that scenario. Ela lo yochal hazavi mezava b'mneher kol aveira. But in the Mishnah, when describing, you know, you can't sit and eat together, that's talking about a zav together with a zava. Kayotze bolo yochal zav parushim zava ma'aretz. Shema yargilenu atzlo. And then the Braisa goes on to describe, and not only that, but a zav parush. A zav parush means that he's a zav, but he's a tamei chacham. He shouldn't be eating with a zav who's an am haaretz because shema yargilenu atzlo, because they may spend more time together. Now the Gemara says, now this is not man and woman. It's not talking about that kind of inappropriate. It's talking about a tamei chacham should not engage in the company of an am haaretz. Now the Gemara says, on this last point, our point over here, let's understand that a little bit better. So what? Meaning, right now the Tamei Chacham may be Tamei Chacham, but he's a Zav. So any food he touches is going to be Tamei. So, brass taxes. What difference does it make whether the Zav is a Tamei Chacham or if he's an Amaretz? So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you the problem. The problem is that he's sitting down with the Amaretz, and even though, yes, they're both Tamei, but the Amaretz is not that careful about keeping kashrus, and therefore what he may end up doing is they may extend something to the Tamei Chacham. Atu Zav Parush Lav Daran Tamei Machil. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Zav Parush, so he's also eating Dvarim Tameim. Davar Tamei over here doesn't mean non-kosher food, right? It means it's Tamei. Right. Am Rabbi Gzer Shami Achilen Dvarim She'enim Mitukanim. So the Gemara says, no, you're right. Of course, so everything they're eating at the table is Tamei. It means that what the Am Haaretz is going to do is eat food that's Tevel. Shumas and Maisels were not taken off. Hand it over to the Zav Tahor. And so now they're both going to be eating. I'm sorry, Zav Tahor. The Zav Parush. Right, and so now they're both going to be eating tevel. And Rav Amar, Rav Amearetz, Ma'asrin Hein, Ela Shem Ragel Atzlo V'Yachlen Dvarim Tameim B'Mei Taharaso. And Rav gives another explanation, a simple explanation. Look, when you start eating with somebody, so, well, because today we're both Zavim, so we eat together. What about tomorrow? What about the day after? Meaning what's going to end up happening is that you're going to create a camaraderie between you and him. And then at a later point, when you are Tahor and he's Tamei, so you're going to still engage in this practice of eating together, and so therefore you're going to develop a bad habit. So therefore, don't do it. Okay. The basic idea we learned in our Mishnah is as follows. Man shouldn't eat with a zava, meaning it's intimate activity, and intimate activity leads to intimacy. Ibayilahu. Nida mau shetishan imbala, hi bibigda, vihu bibigda. So now basically the Gemara is going to explore what kind of behavior, we're talking about husband and wife, what kind of behavior should they not engage in when she's an Ida? Now we understand, we all know that while she's an Ida, so the Torah prohibits intimacy. Okay? What kind of, let's call it what it is, harchakos, what kind of further preventative measures should be practiced between husband and wife in order to prevent any type of intimacy between husband and wife? So the Gemara explores the following. How about sleeping in one bed, but they both are clothed? He be big dovi, who be big do. I'm Rav Yosef Tashma.
So, if you can eat, how can you even ask that question? If they can eat at the table, can
right.
you eat? So maybe
right. Right.
It doesn't sound
the same. Right. No. Okay. So the Gemara quotes a Mishnah in Chulin. A strange place to go in order to resolve this question, but you'll see, or hopefully. In other words, if I explain it well, ha'of ola im hagvina ala shulchan ve'eno nechal divrei beit shamayim. Putting chicken and milk on the same table, in of itself, that's fine. One person eating chicken and another person eating milk at the same table. In other words, no one's eating both. It's just a simple act of we're sharing a table, and I'm having my chicken, and you're having your grilled cheese. So Beit Shammai says, Eino nechal, can't do it. Beis Hillel omrim lo ola velo nechal. Beis Hillel goes one step further. Unusual Beis Hillel is machmir, but here's an example. Beis Hillel is machmir lo ola velo nechal. They shouldn't go on the table together, and they certainly should not be eaten together by these two people. Again, I say together, I don't mean eating the chicken and milk together. Just simply eating it on the same table is going to be prohibited. And so what the Gemara now is essentially saying is, what do you see? You see that even though this is, look how far away we are from an Isser Torah. Meaning, what's the Isser Torah? Even if I eat the chicken and milk together, is that an Isser Torah? It's only an Isser Derabbanan.
So what are the
exact? Oh, okay, fine. So that's only an Isser Derabbanan. And now what we're saying is compound that with the fact that I'm not even allowed to eat chicken on the same table with somebody else who's having milk at that table. So essentially what the Gemara is saying is, we'll make Xeras. And the Xeras do extend. So now going back over here, I know it's we're talking about two different issues. Okay, but still, we're going back over here and the Gemara says over here also. Meaning when the man's wife is a Nida, they shouldn't be in the same bed together, even if they're both clothed. Shani Hazam Daleka Deos. So the Gemara says, well, I could see a difference between the two cases. Meaning, it's different over here. Daleka Deos, there's no minds. Literally, that's what it means. It means basically, no one's going to remind the other person. But Masha Inke, when it comes to a husband and wife who are in the bed together, they'll be reminding each other that she's a Nida. And the Gemara says, and I'll tell you, this answer is a good answer. Diktani Seifa, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Omer, Shnei Achsanayim, Ochlem HaShulchan Echad, Zeachol Basav, Zeachol Gvina, Ve'in Choshishin. The Gemara says, look, because I'll show you another Mishnah in Chulim, which says that if you have people who are at a hotel, and they really don't know one another, so then it's fine. One person can eat meat and the other person can be eating milk even at the same table because they don't have the usual degree of comfort where one's going to simply just reach over and take from the other person's plate. The Gemara says, but wait a second, but if they know each other and they're comfortable with one another, so then it's going to be usher. Because the person's going to be eating the milk, will forget for a moment and just reach over to the person eating the meat, and he will have eaten meat and milk together. So the Gemara says, and it really is the same thing over here. Husband and wife are certainly comfortable with one another. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you how I could still make a distinction. Because over there, in the case of eating at the same table, look, they're comfortable with one another, and there's no shinui, there's no deviation. Meaning, look, I normally eat at a table with somebody else. And I normally reach over, I'm good at this, and I normally reach over and I help myself to what the other person's eating. So if I'm eating meat and he's eating milk, or vice versa, it's going to lead to a problem. Masha Ein came, what the Gemara is saying is that by husband and wife, well, it's not normal that they're clothed. It's unusual. And so once they put on clothing, so therefore there's a shinui, and the Gemara says, so therefore I could see a difference. So yeah, it does sound like at this juncture of the Gemara is actually contemplating that it's okay, that it's acceptable behavior, that when she is a Nida, they could be in the same bed as long as they're closed. Stay tuned.
Touching and this.
It sounds like from the Gemara that no. In other words, there's no actual physical contact. They're just simply in the bed together. What we're going to do in this Igadamri is basically go over the same bit of information, but slightly modified format. But it's basically going to be the same point. We quote the Mishnah in Chulin. Two people lodging at the same inn together, they can eat at the same table. That's only if they don't know one another. They really are strangers to one another. But if they know one another, and therefore one's going to be very comfortable reaching over to the other person's plate, it will be therefore prohibited. And Haninami, here also, husband and wife, they know one another. So why would we allow them to be in the same bed together, even if they're clothed? And the Gemara is going to make the same distinction. Hasam deos ika shinu aleka, hacha ika deos v'ika shinui. Here there are two people, they're going to remind each other, and they deviate from the normal behavior because they are both clothed. So at this point in time, the Gemara has not arrived at a conclusion. Tashma. Coming here. Lo yocha hazavi mazavi mishum hergal aveira. Look at our Mishnah. Meaning, what better proof do you need than our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah says that a zav is not to eat with a zava because hergal aveira. Now we're just talking about eating together.
Sleeping.
Right, sleeping together in the same bed. Can you imagine? Hachanami deos nika shino eleka. So the Gemara says, well, I can still see a difference, says the Gemara, because they always eat together. And so therefore, it's an intimate behavior which is not unusual. But if they're in the same bed together and they're both clothed, so that's unusual. Tashma, the Gemara says, well, how about this? We start with a pasuk in Yechezkel, El ha'arim lo achal ve'einav lo nasal el gelule beis Yisrael. The pasuk in Yechezkel describes a particular person who is careful about the following. The first part of that pasuk is a little bit strange. El harim lo achal. Hard to translate into proper English. Didn't eat the mountains. Rashi explains like this. Rashi explains that he didn't look towards chos avos. The mountains is an analogy. It's a metaphor. It's referring to the merit of his forefathers. Right? So, el haharim lo achal. So in other words, he didn't learn to turn to chos avos, and einav lo nasa el gelule beis Yisrael. It didn't practice any type of idolatry. Eshes re'ehu lo time. Didn't have relations with his friend's wife. And he didn't come close to his own wife when she was Anida. And the pasuk in Yechezkel is describing this person obviously l'shvach, obviously, right? We're praising the person. Now in this pasuk we have basically two activities which this person did not engage in, which is being with his friend's wife and being with his own wife when she's Anida. Mekish ishanida le'eshes re'ehu. Now, ma ishes reihu bibigdo vihi bibigdo aser. Av ishto nida hu bibigdo vihi bibigdo aser. So the hekesh, and the hekesh basically works like this. Look, with your friend's wife, certainly cannot be in the same bed, even with clothing. So with your own wife, when she's a nida, the same degree of separation. That's the hekesh. Shmamina upligid Rav Pedasna. The Gemara says now this last point over here disagrees with Rav Pedasna. Amar Rav Pedasna also Torah ela kirva ela korva shogilu erayz bavad. The Torah only prohibits actual intimacy. Shnemar ishish el kol she'er b'sero lo sikruvu legalos erva legalos erva. And so and the way Rashi understands what does it mean? He's arguing with Rav Pedasna. Take a look at the last Rashi in the Amud. It's tashmish mamish. In other words, the only issur d'oraisa is going on the actual tashmish. Ushar korva afilu kirv basam midrabanan v'hi bebigdav afilu midrabanan lekel migzar. And the way Rashi understands it is that if they're clothed, so that's already too far away from the actual issur, and so therefore it would be acceptable, would be allowed. Okay, so again. Well, the Gemara now is vacillating on whether or not a husband and wife can be in the same bed together. Right? Certainly intimacy itself is an issur d'oraisa. Contact negia with one another. Okay, from the Gemara, you really don't get a good sense of whether that's an issur d'oraisa or an issur d'rabbanan. We know classically it's a machlokas rishonim between the Rambam and the Ramban, whether it's an issur d'oraisa or an issur d'rabbanan. And the Gemara now is talking about even a further harchaka, meaning how about just being in the same bed together, both of them having clothing on, is that going to be acceptable? And from the Gemara does not, at this point, have a clear conclusion. Ula, when he would come home from yeshiva, so he would kiss his sisters. Now the Gemara points out that Ula is somewhat inconsistent with another statement, which is the Amar Ula, Afilu Shum Korva Asar Mishum Lech Lech Amin Nazira, Schor Schor Lakamar Lo Sikravu. Generally, we say to the Nazir like this. You want to get from point A to point B. And there happens to be a vineyard, which is a very easy and efficient way to get from point A to point B. You know what we say to the Nazir?
Don't pass through.
Maya, why don't you go around?
Right.
Yeah, don't walk through the vineyard.
Don't be tempted.
Because when you walk through the vineyard, you're going to be tempted. You're going to see delicious grapes, and you're going to help yourself to those delicious grapes.
Yeah.
So you know what? Best thing to do? Walk around. And so Ula's behavior when he sees his sister from coming home from yeshiva kind of goes against what he says generally, which is don't put yourself in a position where you're going to be tempted. Okay, and it's fascinating because the Gemara doesn't resolve the ambiguity of Ula or the mixed signals of Ula. You can take a look at the Baam Tosfos where
he kissed them.
That's also that too. I understand, and that too is strange. Okay, continuing in the Gemara, Tanid Tan de Be'Eliyahu. Okay, and now although the Gemara has up to this point in time, and certainly the way Rashi has been explaining the Gemara, has not come to a very conclusive position on what kind of harchaka there should be between husband and wife when she's a nida. This story, however, that the Gemara is going to lay out for us will be extraordinarily clear and conclusive. And it'll have a lot of shock value as well. The Gemara tells the following story. Tana de Be'el Eliyahu, Maisa B'tamin Echad, Sheshana Harbe, V'kara Harbe, V'shimish Tamid Chachamim Harbe. Story regarding a Tamid Chacham. He learned a lot. He studied a lot of Mishnayos. And he was Mishamish Tamid Chachamim, which as Rashi explains, as he traditionally does, it means that he not only does he know Mishnayos, he understands Mishnayos. And Mishnayos contradict one another, and he knows how to resolve those contradictions, meaning, simply put, he's a Talmid Chacham. Omeis Bechatzi Yamav, now he died half of his days. Now I know in of itself, by the way, how do we know that was half of his days? But in other words, he died young. He died very young. And his wife was grieving. She was stricken. And she took the tefillin of her late husband, and she went around with her tefillin to the shuls and to the base medrashes of the community. And she just couldn't understand it. Meaning, the Torah promises that if you study Torah, you're going to live a long life. And Ba'ali, Shishana Harbe, the Kara Harbe, and my husband did exactly that. Meaning he learned a lot. He studied Mishnayos, Veshimish, Tamid Chachamim Harbe, and he was with the Tamid Chachamim, Mimnei Ma'amis Bechatzi Yamav. And she's questioning the divine judgment. I don't understand. Velo Haya Adam Machazira Davar. Now no one had an answer for her. Understood. Pam achas nisarachti etzla. Now, remember, by the way, this is all Tana de Be'Eliyahu. So, Tana de Be'Eliyahu, is that a Tana, or is that actually Eliyahu Anavi? I'm just saying, it's unclear, and I'll leave that a little bit ambiguous, but from the next part of the story, it's going to sound a little bit more like Eliyahu Anavi. But be that as it may, Pam achas, sorry, did that already. Nisarachti etzla, v'aisa misicha kol osa ma'ora. V'amarti la, so here's what I said to her, biti, b'meini dosech mahu etzlech. How did you behave with him, with your late husband, when you were in Ida? Amar li chas v'shalom afila betz b'katana lo nagabi. Nothing. No, meaning, never touched me during when I was in Ida. B'mei levunech mahu etzlech. How about during your Yemei Livunech, when you wore your white undergarments, meaning what we call Shiv and Akiyam? Achal imi, we ate together. Shasa imi, we drank together. Yashan imi, bekir of basar. And we... Sorry, it's an important point. I don't want to... V'yashan imi, bekir of basar. and we slept together in the same bed. But we were never intimate. So Amarti La, so I said to her, this is now Eliyahu speaking, Baruch HaMakom Shahargo. Okay, good. Now I understand, and thank God. Thank God he was killed. Shalom Nasa Panim LaTorah. Because even though your husband studied Torah, he didn't practice Torah. Shari Amra Torah of Elisha Benida Tomaso Lo Sikrav. Because the Torah says don't come close. Meaning that there is a requirement of not only not being intimate with one's wife when she's in Ida, but harchaka, there has to be distance between husband and wife when she's in Ida, and you didn't keep the distance, and there wasn't enough harchaka, and baruch hamakom, and thank God. And a lot of interesting discussion over here. One of the things that he was clearly chastised for, post-mortem, was eating with her. In other words, we understand sleeping with her was a violation of harchaka, meaning that's certainly not keeping distance. Eating and drinking also was included. Right. Meaning when a man's wife is an Ida, can they eat together? Okay, so tomorrow I'll make one more comment about this. But in the meantime, however, let's just get to the Mishnah. Ki asra rav dimi amar mita achas havai. What infraction did he violate? So one version is that they had one bed. Meaning they didn't sleep on two separate beds. They were in the same bed together, but there was some article of clothing, whatever it is. There was some article of clothing that was worn, but that wasn't enough of a vahar chaka. Okay? Adkan. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow I'll make one or two more comments on the story, and then we'll continue. Rabbi Chananya ben Akash Amar Rotzeh Kashbaruch Hu Zakim Sol Afiyach Achim Antar Mitzvah Shenamar Anai Chafetz Aman Tzikol Yagdu Torah V'Yadir.